Hi, this is your friend, Emmanuel Dagger, and you're listening to The Miracle Cafe, the home of transformational conversations that serve to attract even more miracles in your life. The Miracle Cafe is excited to connect you with visionary guests, concepts, and modalities here to assist you in manifesting a miraculous life. It's my deepest honor to welcome you to The Miracle Cafe. Hey, my beautiful friend, and welcome to the Miracle Cafe. Today's theme is all about finding spirituality in everything. We have a special guest who is a friend of mine, and I can't wait to hear his insights later on about this subject. Right now, I'd like to set the intention that all of us tuning in and those who listen to the recording later on, that we all open ourselves up to insights, aha moments, miracles, blessings, and shifts in accordance to our highest and greatest good. So if you agree with that, just affirm out loud, and so it is. Hot Topics is a roundtable created with the intention of having a timely discussion on current events and all things that are present in the collective at this time. Our panelists will share their own unique perspective with the intention of providing some insight, wisdom, and inspiration for you and co-creating miracles with you, our miracle collaborators. The Miracle Cafe lovingly welcomes our guest panelists to the Hot Topics table. Today, we have the miraculous Tammy Braswell, who serves as a light worker, intuitive, and energy healer, assisting others in raising their consciousness, awareness, and vibration to achieve and experience great levels of health, happiness, fulfillment, and abundance in their lives. We also have the awesome Brandon Marino, who serves as the founder of Illumined Mind and co-founder of Harmonic Mastery. Brandon helps people create financial success in doing what they love and sharing their message to the world. Tammy and Brandon, welcome to the Miracle Cafe.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to, yes, definitely honored to be here.
So grateful. You guys are doing such amazing things. So let's just jump right into today's hot topics. So the first one goes out to Tammy. We'll start with you. With so much uncertainty about the global economy right now, what advice would you give to someone who may really be caught up in all of that hoopla, you know, there's not enough, or, there's fear around it. So what would you share to them so that they can experience more peace around this subject?
Yes, I know that is a hot topic today, and this is a great question. So what I'd say is there's so much going on around us that points to the negative situations going on in the world. And through our lifelong programming, we look at those situations and experience fear, doubt, and worry around them. And this can create the illusion of lack and scarcity in the world and around us. However, when we step into our awareness of who we really are, which are spiritual beings having a human experience, we can allow this illusion to begin to fall away and experience ourselves as the abundant beings we truly are. In the spiritual, there is no lack, only all sufficiency and overflowing abundance for all. So our hearts know this truth, and I believe that is why those listening are here now, because deep within themselves, the illusion of lack and scarcity does not feel right, and they're experiencing the awakening of consciousness that's occurring in the world that tells us we are greater than we have been taught, and there's so much more. It's the ego that likes to make us think that there's less than there really is. And the global economy may represent the facts as they're seen in the physical world, but these facts are not the truth that is real. What is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. And we have the ability to choose what we want to believe, and we can change our beliefs whenever we wish to do so. We get to choose to say yes to the energy of lack, or we can choose to say yes to the energy of abundance. So we look up.
Yes.
I love
yes,
when you
over
say
here.
Yes.
Yes, yes. I say yes to the abundance. And Brandon, do you have anything you would like to add to that?
I do. You know, it's. I think what you said, Tammy, about being temporary, that's so important. What I'm noticing with so many different people is that the opportunity for fear is rising right along with the opportunity for success. And I think as so many things are changing, you know, think of a giraffe. I always kind of like to use this analogy because a giraffe sees above everything else. He can see where the potential danger might lie. You know, he looks ahead. And we need to stop and do that with where we're at in life. Wherever we're at is just temporary. And for all the people that are listening to the call, listening to your show, and listening to us here, you know, everything else is just temporary. So as you're listening to this, it's just perfect exactly where you're at. So if we can remember that it's temporary, and the most important thing is just get okay with where you're at right now. So many different things show up in the term of fear, and that's just, you know, that is part of who we are. That's just a shadow side of us. That's just a portion of us. So if we can just really literally say hello to that fear, what we begin to notice is that fear dissolves. And it's really nice just to, without having to do anything and getting caught up in the fear and letting the fear drive us, we can just say, all right, this is present. I'm aware that this is here. There's nothing I need to do about it in this moment other than just be aware. And what will soon happen very quickly is that it just dissolves. And then it opens up ways to see, and the energy just begins to flow into more excitement and to more of what we're wanting.
I love it. And when you share that, I just hear, this too shall pass. I know there's a famous quote or somewhere that I've seen that, this too shall pass. So beautiful. Thank you guys so much for sharing your understanding on that. And let's go ahead and jump right into the next question. So to those who have a pattern of hiding or trying to fit in because they still hold great value in what others think of them, what insights could you share that can help them feel more comfortable being their truest authentic self? Brandon.
You know, I think just being able to recognize when we're seeking approval for a way that we act or want something. So many times, and let's face it, you know, being a human being in this experience that we often seek approval for things. We want to know that we're doing a good job. We want to know that we're saying the right things, that we're making other people feel good, and that we're just being productive, right? And so a lot of times it's we don't recognize when we're seeking that approval. And it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier about just being aware of what we're seeking. Because if we can get okay, and a lot of people want to hide, like, oh, I don't want this person to see who I really am, and I don't want them to know that I just did this or what have you. I remember somebody talking to me one day, and they said, wow, I'm really tired. And they had just got done telling me a story about how they were leading this organization, and then they were having troubles at home, so they were having problems with the wife, and then something happened with the kid and all this different thing, but he was trying to be the perfect person for each of those different situations. And I said, wow, that makes me tired just thinking about it, because you've had to play a part in each of those characters what you thought other people wanted you to be. Mm-hmm. What if you were just to say, you know what, this is who I am. And whether it be today I'm tired, you know, I'm not feeling the greatest, or I apologize, you know, this just came up. Forgive me for whatever. And notice when that comes up. Because then what we start doing is we stop taking things personally. And when we really recognize what other people say is about them, what we hear is about ourselves, that old program that plays over and over, that person might not like me, that person might be judging me. I always like to say, whatever we're judging or whatever we're thinking about someone else, we're actually saying that about ourselves. So that is one of the biggest things to really start to, in my experience, is to shift that, is just be aware when you might be judging someone else, when you might be saying something that is negative to someone else, because really that's just telling you what that program is inside of you that allows you that opportunity to change. So say, I don't like what this person's wearing. Well, okay, you get criticized for what you're wearing. You know, that's just a good indicator to start being aware of where that acceptance and where that approval is coming from. And sometimes we hear the tape, right, in our mind. And the question just to ask is, whose voice is this? And it's as simple as it might seem, you'll be surprised with the result, the answers that you get. You might hear, you know, your mom, you might hear your brother, you might hear your sister, whatever, because we get programmed at such an early age that most of the voices that we're hearing or the programs or the patterns that we're hearing aren't even our own. So a simple question just to ask is, whose voice is this in this moment?
Wow. Thank you so much, Brandon. So many insights and aha moments to take away, even for those who are listening to the recording later or who will listen to it again. And Tammy, is there anything you want to add on to that?
I think Brandon said it really well. It's something that's always comes to me to let people know is that they're not alone, that it's okay to feel this way. It is how we've been programmed to think that we have to look outside ourselves for the approval of others as opposed to looking, to giving ourselves approval, to be our authentic selves, and to allow our light to shine in the world, and to just be who we really are, and we will call forth those into our life who accept us that way, and who love us that way, and that's really what I want to share.
Perfect, and we can do for them as well. So by accepting ourselves, we also invite others to accept themselves, but we also accept them as well. Sounds beautiful. So Tammy, where can our, I can't believe how time flew by so fast. So Tammy, where can we find out about you and your work?
You can go to my website. It's www.createbyvibration.com. And I'm also on Facebook, Tammy Braswell.
Perfect. And Brandon, where can we find you?
Also on Facebook, Brandon Moreno, M-O-R-E-N-O. My websites are Illumined Mind, I-L-L-U-M-I-N-E-D, mind.com. And a new business I'm creating is harmonicmastery.com. So take a look for me at either of those sites.
Excellent. And I can attest to both of these amazing spirits. You guys are amazing. I'm so grateful for knowing you and receiving your sharings daily. And thank you both for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for everyone who, yes, likewise. And thank you for everyone who's listening and investing in you.
Yay, thank you so much. So to our listeners, we're going to take a quick short break, and when we return, we have another special guest for you right after this. Stay tuned. And now I'm so grateful to connect with our special guest for today. Sean Patrick, who is also known as that guy who loves the universe, believes in fusing ancient spiritual practice with modern-day pop culture. He has created an online community of over 7,000 modern-day spiritual seekers, and last year made a very popular appearance on The Daily Love with his blog, I Found the Universe in Starbucks. Sean has also recently appeared at the Vitality Show at Earl's Court in London and is working on his first book, which has been described as a modern guide to miracles. Sean, welcome to the Miracle Cafe.
Hello, Emmanuel. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, so grateful to have you here. And, you know, I think the theme today really is just all things spiritual, because I know you're so connected, you're so young, but still so wise. And I'm just so grateful for what you're, sharing with the world. So I want to just say thank you. And I want to jump right into the first question. So how did you come to be known as the guy who loves the universe? And is it true that Starbucks has something to do with it?
Starbucks definitely has something to do with it. I think, like many people, you know, I was living my life a couple years ago where I was mildly dissatisfied. So not to say I was terribly unhappy, but I definitely wasn't living my fullest creative self or expressing myself the way I really wanted to. I was in a job which I thought was okay. My whole life was, I'd say, was okay. So there was nothing like seriously there that was forcing me to move in a different direction. But like so many people who know there's a different way of living life and knowing that they can live this fantastic life, just having an okay life was not good enough for me, and that very soon began to suffocate me in so many ways. And I decided that I had to go after some adventure, and I actually moved to Hong Kong for half a year. And I moved to Hong Kong, and I wanted to go on a complete personal and spiritual journey. And part of that actually was going to a meditation center, which I'd love to speak about some more. And when I was at this meditation center, I was just so immersed with all this spirituality, and I'd sit there for hours, and I'd listen to these wonderful gurus who came to visit from India, and I just loved it. I soaked it all up. I used to sit there in meditation for hours, and then I would go across the road, and I'd get a Starbucks, and I felt like I wasn't being very spiritual. And that was kind of like this spiritual guilt that kind of was over me, thinking that, well, you can't be spiritual and go to Starbucks, you can't be spiritual and eat meat. And that was kind of hanging over me. And it wasn't until one day I sat down with my meditation teacher, and she just said to me, you know, Sean, why are you here? Why are you at meditation class? And I said, well, you know, I really want to go out to meditate and quiet my mind. And she said, listen, Sean, I can meditate anywhere I go. I can meditate when I'm on the bus. I can meditate when I'm walking down the street. And I can even meditate when I'm getting coffee. And a light bulb just went up over my head, thinking, oh my gosh, like this thing that I've been calling an unspiritual thing to do is not being spiritual at all. So I ran right across the road and I went to Starbucks, and I realized that my relationship with the universe and my relationship with God is no different than my relationship with the guy who's serving me coffee at Starbucks. And all of a sudden there was this huge fusion of, you know, the modern world and my spiritual world. And that's what I really hope to share through my teaching, is that you can live a spiritual life and still completely go, you know, and enjoy the pleasures of the world. Many of us believe that we must follow a set of rules in order to be spiritual. You know, we must meditate more, we mustn't eat meat, we mustn't get angry or sad. And I think that we've done ourselves a huge disservice by thinking this, because to be a spiritual seeker who also enjoys the pleasures of the modern world is a fantastic thing. Is a fantastic thing to do, and I think it's really time to end any guilt we have about fusing both of them.
Wow, that is so beautiful. And you know, just from reading your posts and just kind of getting your essence, you also have this deep love for the universe. It's almost like a relationship.
Oh yeah,
you know, a deep romantic relationship. Can you just share a little bit about how that transpired?
You know, I always found and still do extreme comfort in knowing that there's something out there which really loves me and really takes care of me. And that's what I believe about the universe. I believe that it's this force in play that really takes care of me, that really loves me. And to lean into that is the greatest comfort I can ever receive. You know, sometimes I make the mistake of trying to reach out for comfort. You know, I reach out into shopping, I reach out into the food, I reach out into all these things for that bit of comfort, but nothing, and I mean nothing, can compensate when I lean into the fact that, oh my gosh, There is this force in nature which loves me so much. There is this force in nature which wants so much me. There's this force in nature which is right there forgiving me, right there giving me a second chance, right there wanting me to be more. And it's not holding me accountable to anything I did yesterday that I'm not proud of. It's just there loving me. So I think the more and more I learn to lean into that, the more and more I continue to have this great relationship with the universe. And it's so funny that you describe it as a relationship, because I remember once my I spoke to my friend once because I was feeling quite guilty about not meditating enough. And she said to me, she said, you know what, Sean, my relationship with the universe is similar to my relationship with any person that I'm dating. She said, you know, sometimes it's my time to do all the talking, and that's prayer. Sometimes it's my time to do all the listening, that's meditation. And sometimes I need to show my love by my actions, and that's what I'm doing. So I now totally, when I think about my relationship with the universe, I think I'm in a relationship with the universe the same way I am with a romantic partner. And sometimes it's my job to do all the talking, dear universe, Sometimes it's my job to do all the listening where I sit and just allow the universe to tell me what it needs to tell me. And sometimes it's my job to show my love, and that's when I take action. But there's all three going on.
That is so powerful, and I hope our listeners, really, really absorb that. And, you know, the theme that I'm feeling here, and just kind of like the underlining theme, is being almost of service. How can I serve you, universe? Mm-hmm. Because when we do that, the more that we are showing our love to others and those around us and, you know, listening and doing all that, we are being of service to the universe and giving to the universe. And what will we get in return? Multiplied, right? That love, that joy, whatever it is that we are made of, which is that love, it comes right back to us. So that's so beautiful. Would you say that's kind of like what I'm hearing here?
Definitely I would. And what's so interesting about this word service is the universe probably wants you to do what you really want to do. I think so often we think, well, what I want to do is selfish. You're like, and would the world be a better place if Oprah wasn't here? Would the world be a better place if some of the most famous movie stars weren't here? No, absolutely not. And so often, you know, there's this deep desire we have, this deep dream, and we're almost scared to let ourselves want it. We're scared to let ourselves say, no, that's what I want. And I said, chances are, if you really want something, the universe wants that too. And I know for me, when I rewind to that time of my life where I was saying I was feeling very mildly dissatisfied, I was doing work which I was skilled at, work which I enjoyed, but by no means was it work which I could just completely give myself to, and that I was feeling like the most supreme expression of myself. And so much of me thought, well, if I want to go out and do this spiritual lecturing, if I want to go out and be like, you know, a teacher of spirituality, like something about me felt like the universe wouldn't want that from me. But when I actually said, no, that's what I want to do, like I want to do that so much, I'd happily spend the rest of my life doing it without missing any. When I actually said that, when I actually started to do it, that's when everything started coming back to me, because I said, no, that's what I want, and I'm going to go out on a limb here and think God must want it too.
Yeah. Mm. Our desires are the desires of the universe.
Yes.
That's always what I say. Our truest desires. So I want to go back a little bit to Starbucks, and you know how you were in that moment, you realized that Starbucks is spiritual.
Yeah.
So do you think spirituality can be defined? And if so, is it something that we already are, or is it something that we have to do?
No, I don't believe that spirituality is something that can be defined. And I think we keep trying to do that over and over and over again. We say a spiritual person is somebody who meditates or does yoga, or somebody who believes in the powers of the universe or has a high level of consciousness. And I think we're doing ourselves a disservice to limit what spirituality actually can be by trying to put a label on it. One of my favorite, I once heard Deepak Chopra describe Las Vegas as the most spiritual city he knows because it doesn't try to be anything that it's not. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love that. And I think that's so often, you know, in order to fit into this model of I'm a spiritual person, so often we possibly start to do things which we feel like maybe aren't so authentically us. And so often they are, you know, so often we reach for meditation for the first time and we feel that bliss we've not felt in years. So often we reach for prayer, we reach for so many things that do bring so many quote unquote spiritual things that do bring us that feeling of peace. And I think in order to be a spiritual person, we need to not be focused so much on what we're doing, but so much just walking around remembering who we actually are on a daily basis. So no, I really don't think it can be defined. Do I think it's something we have to do? I think it is something we have to do, but I also think we have to remember that everything we do is spiritual with the right intention. Mm-hmm. So if, anything I'm doing, which is bringing me joy, which is bringing me, you know, ecstasy, and I'm just feeling so happy, that's a spiritual thing to do. And one day that may look like keeping up with the Holy Scriptures, and one day that may look like keeping up with the Kardashians.
I love that. Wow. Exactly. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, we both run in spiritual circles, and a lot of times there is a lot of judgment. Oh, you watch that, you do this, you do that. So, you know, I find that to be quite the opposite of spirituality. So it's amazing that you can just, you know, put those two together in such a simplistic way.
Yeah,
I love it. So let me ask you, Sean, how does a person remain grounded in their spiritual journey, on their spiritual path in a modern world?
You know, the more I remind myself that I can express my spirituality through everything that I do, and the fact that I have no choice but to express my spirituality through everything that I do, it's not so much like a code of conduct and a set of rules in which I live by, but it's more so just a constant reminder to myself. So, you know, I often talk about, you know, turn your spiritual swag on. And what I kind of mean by that is, to really download this way of thinking, that you know that you are this perfect expression of the universe in every second you're alive, and then allow your demeanor to speak for itself. You know, allow your peace to show up in the way that you walk. Allow your love to show up in the way you speak to people. Allow yourself to be an example, you know, how you're treating yourself. So when I say, you know, go out into the world and be a spiritual seeker in a modern world, be an expression of somebody who, when they mess up at the office, don't give yourself 5 weeks of a hard time for that. Let it go there and then. To be someone who's a spiritual seeker in a modern world, you know, if you make a fool out of yourself on a date, be someone who has compassion for yourself right away, and not somebody who goes through 5 months of self-loathing because you messed up on a date once. So I think, you know, when you really start to download this way of thinking and begin to remember, oh my gosh, I am an expression of the universe in everything that I do, and as long as I'm feeling full of joy, I'm doing the most spiritual thing I can. You know, allow that to just like transcend through your energy, through the way you walk, through the way you talk, and that's the best way you can be a spiritual seeker in a modern world.
Mm-hmm. Now, for those who have, you know, been in that pattern of being hard on themselves, and I mean, they really, really want to do what you're saying, but sometimes it's a little bit challenging. What advice or, you know, ideas would you share with them to help them start being able to be easier on themselves or kind of let things go more quickly? I mean, do you have anything that you can actually share with them to help them move out of being hard on themselves?
I think if you're someone who's prone to being hard on themselves, and that definitely includes myself, I think you don't want to overwhelm yourself with a big, long spiritual to-do list of all the things you're going to do to, you know, possibly make yourself feel more peaceful, because you might not be able to stick to it, and therefore you're only going to give yourself more of a hard time. There's three things I like to do every day at least, because there's some days I love to stay in deep spiritual devotion, and some days I just don't. I do it more than I don't, but I hate for a day to go by if I haven't done these three things. The first thing is, I write post-it notes and I stick them on places, and it just says, note to self, I am enough. Because I think so often we go through life, and I think the biggest chronic horrible thought that we think is, I'm not enough. And if we can be reminding ourselves on a constant basis, you know, this is who I am, this is what I've been through, these are the good decisions I've made, these are the bad decisions I've made, this is who loved me, this is who didn't love me, and ta-da, here I am, and I'm enough right here, right now. When we can truly start being in that place of, you know, unattachment and not needing anything from anybody, to remind ourselves on a daily basis, if just once, I am enough, will really, really make a change to your life. I also think in the morning, I find this really interesting, take note of how many seconds you give yourself in the morning before you start filling your mind with yesterday's junk. And you know what? It's probably going to be like maybe 2 or 3 seconds. For some people, it's going to be about split seconds. And then really expect yourself, oh my gosh, I've just got into crazy and I've been awake for about 2 seconds. And then stop it and just think to yourself, right now, if I can go into crazy that quickly, I can go into positivity that quickly, and just start forcing your mind with something positive. I don't know what it is, whatever it works for you. But really take note to how quick the negative thoughts can sneak in, and try and turn them around.
Wow. Yeah. I'm just so mesmerized because there's just so much good information there. Thank you so much. Now, I want to go back to that first step that you were talking about.
Note to self, I am enough.
Yes, yeah. I am enough. Would you say, from your perspective, that by affirming that we are enough, that maybe, just maybe, we're affirming to the universe that it's enough. Would you say that that kind of correlates together? Because I know for me, it really helps me to, you know, realize that we are sort of like miniature universes, you know? And so what happens is if we are being hard on ourselves, or if we're saying we're not good enough, or we don't love ourselves, except we're basically saying all those things to the universe. What's your perspective on that?
You know, I definitely agree. I think, you know, I think we're all parts of the universe, you know, and we're all children of the universe. So when we start, you know, diss on ourselves, I don't think we realize who we're speaking to. It's almost like saying, hold up, you are dissing, you are calling a not nice name to, you know, a child of the universe, to a child of all that is good, to a child of something who just needs to show up and allow all of the grace and goodness to just rush to them. And it's like, don't you dare be insulting that person being yourself.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, so I want to ask you another question. Is, I know you talked a little bit about meditation, but do you think it's actually an important part of the daily practice? And if so, what are some like meditative practices or tools that you actually resonate with?
Well, meditation works for me, and what I'll do is I'll share with you the way I meditate. I think for many people it can be overwhelming. Now, because I used to always see meditation as something like to quiet my mind for. That's why I always reached for it, because I wanted to quiet my mind. And like I said, I was living out in Hong Kong a couple of years ago, and I went to this meditation center. And I was just so excited to go. You know, I'd read Eat, Pray, Love, and I was really excited to go out east and meditate. I was really, really like buzzing on it. And I get to the meditation center, and I sit down with the woman who's been chosen to be my teacher. And she just says to me, you know, why do you want to meditate? And I answer, you know, because I want to quiet my mind. And she starts to giggle to herself. And I'm not really sure why she's laughing, because I feel that's why everyone came to meditation, you know, to quiet their mind. And she looked at me and she said, why would you want to quiet your mind? And at this moment, I'm getting really confused. And she just looks at me, you know, so much love and compassion in her eyes. It's one of them looks where you just know someone's looking right into you. And she said to me, she said, Sean, meditation is not about quieting your mind. It's about reminding yourself of the original qualities of your soul. And she said, they are peace, that is power, that is purity, that is love, that is knowledge, that is bliss, and that is mercy. So she said to me, never try to quiet your mind. Because
that's life-changing.
Yeah, she's like, never try and quiet your mind. She goes, it's a fruitless journey anyway. She goes, but sit down and just remember, you know, how awesome your existence is. And sit there and remember, I am love, I am peace, I am power, I am knowledge, I am bliss, I am mercy. So for anybody who's meditating, I'd say, just give it a try. Don't sit there and try and make your mind think no thoughts, because I'm sure we've all been there and many of us have been unsuccessful. Just sit there and just remember what the original qualities of your soul are. And they are peace, they are power, they are purity, that is love, it's knowledge, it's bliss, and it's mercy. And for anyone who's struggling with meditating, then download that instead of trying to quiet your mind.
You know, when I hear you say that, I just feel this energy of like wanting to just bask in reverence for the I am within myself and all within all of us, really. So really just focusing on those qualities does that. Thank you so much. I know you're going to do a little meditation later.
Yeah.
I want to hear a little bit more about your journey to Hong Kong and just being able to, you know, I know it takes a lot of courage to do that. It's not some, I know you live in England, so it's very, it's a very big move. How did that like happen? How did you find the courage? How can you, you know, share some of those, you know, some courage or words of wisdom with our listeners who may want to try something similar?
Well, I think like many people, I was really good at masking the fact that I was feeling quite miserable. You know, I had a good salary. I had a city center apartment. I used to go out and drink fancy cocktails. So I was kind of giving this image to the world, like I was really hot stuff. But like, but inside me, that's definitely not how I felt. And I think because I didn't feel great about myself, I chose company which wasn't really serving of me. You know, I had friends that possibly would make a lot of backhanded comments. They didn't really support me on my journey. And I think my self-esteem had gotten to a place that was quite low. And even when I met people who were, you know, exciting individuals, I felt like, well, they're not going to want to hang around with me. So I think I'd kind of isolated myself. And I do think it got to a level where it was so tough. I mean, I had to do something different because what I was doing clearly wasn't working. It's like I often hear Marianne Williamson talk about the ego doesn't want you to go into disaster because then you actually do something about it. It just wants to make today a little bit awful. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, thank God I kind of went into complete disaster where I thought to myself, I need to make a change. And I made sure I had employment in Hong Kong. So, I mean, mm-hmm. it was a very brave and scary step to take. But I went out there to work as well as to go on my spiritual adventure. So there was a level of security there, but it was still a very scary thing to do. But when I was there, I decided to do things differently. And what I kind of decided to do differently was I wanted to keep company which honored and valued me, as opposed to hanging out with people that possibly didn't. And I wanted to do more of what made me happy. And for me, that looked like going to a meditation center and remembering that I was love, peace, power, and bliss, as opposed to going out and getting drunk. Just because, you know, it's what everyone did. Mm. So I think I got to a stage where I knew I had to make a change because what I was doing really wasn't working. And so many people are at the verge of that change. Like I said, the ego doesn't want you to get there because then you're going to do something about it. So I'd invite anybody who's possibly feeling what I'd say mildly dissatisfied in their life to really contemplate, you know, can I actually see myself continuing this way, or do I have to make a change? Mm-hmm. And for anybody that doesn't want to do something as drastic as moving to Hong Kong for half a year, you know, mm-hmm. when I came home, I did something which I thought was really, really special was I reintroduced myself to people. And what I mean by that was I allowed my energy to say for itself, things are going to be different now. You know that thing I used to be insecure about? I'm not insecure about that anymore. You know that person I was scared to see? I'm not scared of seeing them anymore. And it wasn't like I went to them and said, why, hello, I'm Sean, and I'm a new person now. Like I said, I allowed my energy to speak for itself, and I allowed people to know, you know, I live my life differently now, and I'm so happy with how I'm doing it. Wow. And I didn't ask for permission of anybody to live this different life. I let people know through the way I was living my life that things were going to be different.
Wow. Now that's the most powerful thing, to actually do it.
And that is the most powerful thing. So people don't need to go and move away for half a year, though I can highly recommend it. But people don't have to go move away for half a year. They can decide, okay, my life needs to work differently in this area, and this area. And just let people know by your example that things are going to be different now.
And, you know, I really love that, you know, for you it worked to move and kind of change your environment, because sometimes that is needed. But mm-hmm. for someone else, maybe they can make even more subtle changes. And so everyone is on their journey and it's perfect for them.
Yeah.
I know, you know, we all talk about energy and the shift in consciousness. And especially right now, the world is shifting so quickly. What, especially, you know, sometimes change can be a little bit challenging for people. What words of wisdom or insights can you share for those who may be having some challenges around embracing change? What could you share with them so they can embrace it more?
When I was going through this period of my life of this crazy change, and things are always changing, but this was a very profound time for me. I met with a friend for coffee, because that's where all my spiritual moments happen. And she said to me, I said, I'm really scared of this move, I don't know what I'm going to do. And she just looked at me and said, Sean, change is a good thing. Without change, we'd all just stand still and stagnant, and that's not what I want to happen. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I kind of have two choices here. I either go with change, or things always stay the same. And so often we're scared of change, but I think if we actually dig down to our deeper fears, we're actually more scared things are always going to stay the same. So change is not what we're scared of here. So I think it's to acknowledge we walk around thinking we're so scared of change. You know what we're really scared of is that things are going to never change. So welcome it in and just know, I know somewhere deep down inside of me, this is what I really want.
Mm. Wow. That's such a shift. I mean, it's so subtle, but it's a massive shift in perspective. Well, you know, we're running almost out of time, but I do want to make sure that we can get a nice little meditation or process in. I know you have some wonderful things to share. So can you lead us through a meditation?
I would love to.
Perfect. Thank you.
So one thing that I've really enjoyed about this meditation center I used to go to in Hong Kong was that we always kept our eyes open. And so I invite you all just to maybe light a candle or just focus on some point in the room you're in. Keep your eyes open. Allow your mind to stay awake, because we're not going to quiet off our minds during this meditation. So find a point of focus and allow yourself to remember the original qualities of your soul. And that's peace, power, purity, love, knowledge, bliss, and mercy. I'm now going to lead you all on a storm of surrender to the universe's plan. Thank you, universe, for not letting me know your plans were, because I probably would have tried to change them. Thank you, universe, for dreaming a bigger dream for me than I would ever know how to dream for myself. Thank you, universe, for always continuing doing what you do, even at the times that I think you're doing it wrong. Thank you, universe, for loving me enough to override my demands with your better plans. I now take a step back and give you room to perform your miracles. I release the need to be anything other than what I am. I release the need to know what is around the corner. I allow myself to feel everything that I'm feeling. I allow myself to give up trying to control the world. I no longer hold anybody else responsible for my happiness. I surrender all to you with the non-negotiable trust that you know exactly what you're doing. And once again, call to mind the original qualities of your soul. Peace, power, purity, love, knowledge, bliss, and mercy. Thank you.
And so it is. Well, I'm just so in awe of you and your work, and I'm just so grateful that you were here, and we're definitely going to have you back. I know you have an amazing book coming out in the next year or so. But until then, where can our listeners learn more about you, your work, do you have a website, anything like that?
Yeah, please find me on thatguywholovestheuniverse.com, thatguywholovestheuniverse, and you can find me on Facebook by searching for That Guy Who Loves the Universe.
Yeah, and just anyone listening, he has amazing posts. And you know what I really admire and really appreciate is that you never really talk at us or talk down to those who follow you, but you kind of make it about that we're all in this together, and that you, you know, you're very personal and you're very vulnerable, and I really appreciate that. So thank you so much, Sean, for being here and for being such a shining light on the planet.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you so much for them kind words.
You're welcome. And to our listeners, thank you guys so much for being here today. It's been such an honor to connect with all of you. Have a miraculous day, and I look forward to co-creating even more miracles with you next time.
Thank you for tuning in to the Miracle Cafe. Sign up for our mailing list at miraclecaferadio.com to find out more about upcoming shows and special events. Also, by signing up, you will receive a free powerful energy recording titled Living Your Highest Vision. Sign up today at miraclecaferadio.com, and I look forward to co-creating a miraculous journey with you.